Amen. Our class may be dismissed, Brother Pirtle. Amen. They may go to their class at this time, but those of you in the sanctuary, we're going to Paul's writing, and he addresses it to a young man named Timothy, but it's in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 6. And this simple passage of scripture, there's just a little bit of phrase here in this verse that we want to look at today. And how beautiful it is to look at this and realize the great, great impact God has in a life. The scripture Paul writes here to a son or young man in the gospel, and he said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honor the word of the Lord. I want to talk to us today about this very verse, but I want to go even deeper what I felt. And whenever the Lord begins to lay something on a pastor's heart and you feel that, but Lord, today's Mother's Day, and there's things that, you know, could be said in a different angle, or a preacher could find a Mother's Day sermon. But today I want to talk to you about a Father's Day sermon. I want His way. Amen. And I want Father's Day every day in my life. And the scripture said, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, the mentioning here about the excellency of contentment, how it is a tremendous gain, the greatest gain ever. And when godliness and contentment come together, how amazing it is. Both have meant something. You could have contentment in life and not have godliness. Contentment is a great gain, but the greatest gain is when there's godliness and contentment. It meant you have made a trade in, something that you have come to conclusion. And not only have you traded something, you have received something. A trade is a give and a take. Today I'm thankful that godliness is not going to church. Godliness is not just being part of a group, but godliness is having God living in your life. And reception has been made. Somebody's got a hold of something. You know, the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6, it talks about faith. But God begins to speak through the book of Hebrews, and it says, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's great reward in the seeker. The person that makes up his mind, I got to find, I got to get, I got to have what God has for my life. The seeker of God. Then there's another scripture that I want to share with you in the book of Psalm, the 37th chapter, that says, a little with a righteous man, it's more than the riches of all the wicked. When a man, though he has little in life, but he has the righteousness of God, he is more than all the different possessions and the riches of the wicked. And looking in commentaries today, Matthew Henry, a great commentator, made this statement. He said, when those that have arrived at the highest pitch of contentment, they have done it with godliness, where God is living inside of them, they are certainly the easiest and the happiest people on the planet. The easiest and the most happiest. Isn't it amazing whenever there's an easy person to deal with? Teachers here today, we have several teachers in our congregation, and people that deal with people. People are not easy to deal with. And people's going to be people. I don't care where you go. Jesus dealt with people. And when you begin to realize that when you're dealing with somebody that's not easy, Jesus dealt with them. He had a devil. And he had a Simon. He had a hot head. And he had a dead head. And he had a foolish person. You're going to have that in life. There's going to be people that are not easy. Don't you like to be around somebody who's easy? Somebody easy to deal with. I'm not talking about a pushover. I'm not talking about somebody who just is a yes person. God inside of a person's life, whenever you come to the grip of God's grace and God has done something in your life, there's something at ease inside of you. You're striving and you're searching, and your explorations of life have come to the place where now there's an easement inside of your spirit. There's a settling. You're sold out. You're settled out to the place where God is at work in your life. And how great it is, the scripture begins to talk about when a righteous man has God in his life. When that person is righteous, he is better than the richest of many. Paul tells us in our text that we begin to read today, godliness with contentment is great gain. And he says, we brought nothing into this world, the next verse says, and it's certainly, you cannot carry anything out. The man who accomplishes the most in life, who has all the different accomplishments, whether it's riches, positions, degrees, all the accolades of humanity, they are worthless when it comes time to die. I don't care how much of a profile that you have, your bio of your profile of professional background, your accomplishments, your experiences, your skills, and your qualifications are worthless. What good is when we begin to read somebody's obituary? And I've been in places where you start reading the obituary and you want to go look inside the casket and say, is that really that person? I've been places where you go, whoa, man, they sure use a lot of cosmetics of words to try to paint this person as a good person. And I heard a story one time of a lady. She was sitting there. It was her husband in the casket. And she stopped the whole message and said, you sure you got the right obituary? I want to tell you, amen, it's more than words. It's more than your profile. It's more than your bio, your skills and abilities. The great gain is what you have allowed God to do in your life. What about you today? And let me talk about the setting and taking pleasure in the presence and the power of God. When somebody begins to realize the value and the worth of God at work in your life, they have come to the place that they have nothing in life to add to life other than themselves. And you can't be who you're not. Why is it many times we're trying to chase the person that we're not? We're trying to become something who we're not and we can't ever be. I'm telling you, amen, I could go get a wig today and I could try to make my big old head look good, but it's not who I am. And I could try to think, man, I need this or I need that to cosmetically make myself better. I want to tell you, you can only be who you are. Amen. Even though a person will change the outward look and the outward ways to try to impress people, you can still be a rotten person on the inside. And it only takes a rotten potato and a whole bushel of potatoes, amen, to start the rotten procession and process in that bushel. Before you know it, you have a whole bunch of rottenness inside. And I'm thankful for the goodness of God that God will help the rotten person. When a man begins to realize, or a person begins to realize, that evil is not out there, evil is not next door, evil is not somewhere across in the worst part of cities, it's not there, but evil's in every man's heart. And what you do with that evil matters. I'm thankful that God has an answer for the evil that's within every one of us. He's a rewarder of those that will seek him, that will try to say, God, I need you. And oh, friend, when you let God be God, there's an unmatchable great testimony of what God can do with your life. Look at what God has done, but look what God will do inside of you when you finally let God have his way within you. Amen. I love the Psalm, the 73rd chapter. The psalmist said, truly God is good, even to Israel, to such as are a clean heart, a pure heart. And he said, but as for me, I don't qualify. He said, my feet were almost gone. They almost slipped. My steps had just about slipped when I started looking, and I had envious at all the foolish people, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I got to evaluating other people and begin to think, man, look how great and grand they are. Look how successful they are. But they're foolish and they're wicked, but look at the wicked. Even though they're doing wrong and all their schemes and stuff, look how blessed they are, supposedly. Look how prosperous they are. And the psalmist said, I got so much involved and got jealous and envious at these people that my foot had just about slipped. Then he goes through the whole thing. And he said, but then I came to the house of God and I considered their end. I considered the end of their life. Then I realized how good God is. I'm thankful today for the goodness of God. Amen. Oh, people may look good. They may make a good impression. They may make a good little statement of their life. And you think, well, they got it together. I want to tell you, you don't have it together if you don't have God living inside of you. You're nothing but a foolish individual full of faults and failures. Amen. The person that tries to impress. We're living a generation where there's a new type of person that has evolved. And it's not a caveman, but it's the Facebook person. It's a social media person that is out there to try to make an impression about how many likes they could get and how many people they could get to comment. Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you, you can have everybody's attention on Facebook or media or whatever resource that you use, but I want to have the attention of the Almighty God. I want the glory of God to dwell in me. The approval is not upon mankind. I'm not here to get somebody to make a check mark under my name on this earth, but I want a check mark in my God's favor. I want God to look at me and say, wow, even that's my son, that's my daughter. I want God's grace to be in my life. How about you today? What about you? What are you striving for? The Bible again says in Hebrews, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to seek God. Today, if you want to title this, I want to talk to you, seeing from God's angle, his view, seeing from God's angle. Let me just tell you, it does make a difference when you look from the right angle. Have you ever looked at something from the wrong angle? Have you ever looked at something at the wrong perspective? Have you ever been fooled before? How many's ever been fooled? Have you ever been fooled by a salesman or fooled by somebody and you thought, man, they were a good person, and just right around the corner they made an idiot out of you? Have you ever done that? I have. I swallowed a lot of trash before that people fed me and only realized like, they made it taste good. They made it look good. They made it smell good. But friend, amen, after a while, I realized what I swallowed, and I was a foolish person. But from the angle of God, amen, the view is totally different. What God begins to see things, how God begins to relate to things. You know, his view matters. His way matters. What God thinks matters. And a lot of times we think, man, I really don't believe that. I hear people all the time say, well, Brother Crosswell, I really don't believe. It don't matter what you believe. It's what God says. I don't have to pray about some things. I don't have to fast about some things. I don't have to scratch my head and say, what's the will of God? If God says it and God says do it, amen, it's something that you don't have to fast about. You don't have to rack your brain thinking, oh, I just don't feel like it's. You know, a lot of people feel that getting in a position that they feel that they're greater and more superb than God because they think, well, I don't believe that when God spells it out very plainly. Hey, his view matters. Let me just talk to us about something. And the Lord was dealing with me about this morning. And I turned on my radio and talk radio yesterday morning. And I was listening to a guy who talks about finances, his Dave Ramsey show. And I like to study finances. I like to look at it because, amen, I want to take care of what God's blessed me with. I want to take care of what's in my possessions. And they were making comments. And they were kind of doing it in a way to teach people. And they were referring to a social media group of influencers, how they have a YouTube channel and all these different influencers, and how they were trying to get their viewers to think that they were really living a luxurious lifestyle. You know what they did? They had staged a video shooting as they were pretending to go to a certain place in a real luxurious hotel in a very prestigious place in a different country. And they had even taken the pictures of them sitting in a nice Learjet. And they were there, and I mean, they were talking. Some of them even reached in their satchel, and they were eating snacks and sharing snacks, and how wonderful and luxurious they were riding on this Learjet, headed to this certain city to stay in this certain hotel. Till somebody got to realize, one of the viewers, hold it. As they were sitting there pretending they were flying, they noticed through one of the windows an airplane or airport service truck going by. And a little bit later, they're talking about, you know, all together, they, it's a little bumpy ride. And they was making, you know, like as if there was a bumpy ride. And they looked out, and they seen another vehicle go by out the window. So somebody did some investigation of this group. And there were several influencers, only to find out they really never did fly in that Lear. You know what they did? They rented it for 1 hour for a photo shoot. And they all got in it pretending to be in flight. And, oh yes, they went to a city, but they took the cheapest flight. And when they got to the city, they were shooting the scenery of all the city. And they made an arrangement with a hotel, a very luxurious hotel. And they said, can we just go take pictures of your room? We want to just, you know, advertise your hotel and your room. And, you know, we're influencers. And the manager, after a long period of time, had refused them. And finally, he said, well, I will let you look. And they said, we want the best suite you got. He said, it's filled. You can't have it. And they finally said, well, when does these people leave? And the guy said, well, you can't have a room. It's reserved. And they kept on. He said, I'll tell you what. I've got another little room over here. I'll let you look at it. And so these people went in, and this room cost right at $1,200 a night. And they said, well, look, we'll give you a portion of money for us just to go there and just film some stuff real quick. We'll be out within 2 hours. And they laid in the bed. They filled the tub up and pretended all this. And, I mean, they hammed it up. But you know what they were doing? They were just acting, trying to fool their audience. And they were trying to get everybody to think, well, look at us. Look how great we are. But in reality, they weren't even doing what they were supposing and what they were putting out there. Amen. They were staging something. Amen. You know, Hollywood has staged a lot of ideology. You know, you think about it. They made people feel like, oh, this is the way life should be. This is the way. They've used false props. They've used sets. And they use stage deals. And remember, actors are actors. They're just pretending. And they'll take you on a pretend trip in a pretend world and make you think, oh, that's the way life's supposed to be. But in reality, these people are still just acting. They're putting on. Are you tired of a putting on pretend plastic world? Amen. We're a world that begins to say, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. And they want you to see it from an angle. And you begin to feel like, oh, I'm being left out. I'm disconnected. I'm lowly. I don't fit in. Oh, but I want you to remember the market they're using is to make you feel deprived. They want to make you feel like you don't have it. And it's a competition to look a certain way. And a pretend world is a dangerous world. Friend, I want you to know one thing we can't pretend. We can't pretend to live life. Amen. Life is real. And God wants somebody to get in touch with Him, because this thing is not a game. This is not a video game where when you're out, you don't just check in and get another man. You know, my son was playing a video game the other day, and whenever he loses, guess what? He could start the game back again. And just, hey, life is not, you have only one life to live, and it matters how you live your life. This is not a pretentious video game. Amen. Well, you're just scoring points, and if you mess up, oh, well, just start again. You got one opportunity to live for Christ. You got one opportunity to make a difference in your world. And God has come today to talk to our hearts and tell us, it's really real living for God. There's a joy, there's a peace, and there is a contentment that God really has for us when we seek Him. But The pretentious world is really a dangerous world because it's not real. You know, suicide lurks in the waters of discontentment like a hungry gator for those that begin to pretend and live in a pretend life. It makes you feel like, honey, you're left out. It makes a man feel like, man, I don't have all this stuff. I got to have the best of the best. I got to have this brand new truck. I got to have this boat. I got to have this, you know, this and this. I got to have this. And I'm left out if I don't have all these things. A woman feels almost the opposite. If she's not a person that's looking for things, she begins to look at herself. And the world begins to throw the image, well, you're not a Barbie. You don't look like this. You don't have this together. But I'm so thankful that God says, it don't matter who you are, where you come from, I'll take you as you are, but I'll make you to become something that you can't be. I'm glad that God has a place for us today. In his hand, in his plan, in his mercy, God really has something for us. More than God taking you and making you, amen, a part where you, I don't want to be a servant to God. You know what the scripture says about his servants? Those that serve him are his children. There's something about when you love somebody. It's not a hard thing. It's kind of like the little boy that the parade was coming to town. And these little country kids, you know, they were so excited because of the circus parade. And somebody looked and there was a little boy that had a bigger boy on his shoulder. And they said, man, what are you doing? He said, I'm bringing my brother to see the parade. Why? Well, my older brother, but he's crippled. He can't get here on his own. Don't you know your big brother's heavy? The little boy said, he's not heavy. He's my brother. In an amazing, it's not heavy living for God. It's easy living for God. The burdens are easy and light, Jesus says. It's hard to live for God when you live for God easy. But it's easy to live for God when you live for God hard. Amen. Isn't it amazing when your mind is sold out, your heart is sold out? Hey, God, I'm yours. I'm not my own, the scripture said. I'm bought with a price. Amen. Somebody in this place today, look at the rewards. Look at the great things that God has for you. Amen. The pressures from the world's angle of view is so messed up. It's so messed up. It surrounds you and pushes upon you your mindset. You need this. You need this. Have you ever felt that pressure? You need this. You can't live without this. And you know what they'll throw in? You only got a few more minutes before you could purchase it or the deal will be over. How many of you ever felt in one of those deals that you felt like, ah, I gotta get in before the price is reduced right now. A special deal for right now. And on my phone, amen, I several months ago, I looked at something and there was an advertisement about a jacket. And it was one that you could wear in severe weather and you don't have to have all these bulky layers. And I thought, man, I want me a bearskin hoodie. I want one of those. And I mean, I looked and they said, special deal right now. I was so excited, I paid the $99. And, you know, they said, special. Well, you know that special deal they keep on saying it's running. You got this little bit of time to get, you know, it's still $99. And that was before November. It's still $99. This morning when I get to church, guess what I get? I get this push ad that said, get it right now. You know, the discount is still going on right now, just for a little bit. That's the mindset of the world. Pressure, 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 pressure. You need this. You've got to have this pressure. And when you begin to get in a world full of pressure, there creates a vacuum on the inside of you. And if anybody in this place knows physics, if you've studied physics, when a vacuum is placed on the inside of something, and pressure is on the outside, something is fixing to happen. Amen. Something is fixing to happen. You know how they get these tall skyscrapers when they want to take them down? They don't use a big old boom and chain and bust it down like that. No, they use a system called implosion. Implosion is when they begin to suck out all the oxygen out of the inside, and the pressure of the oxygen on the outside causes that skyscraper to weaken, and all of a sudden from the inside it collapses and caves in. I'm telling somebody, that's the pressures of this world. The marketing thing of the world is to make you feel depraved. Depravity is what the agent of hell used against Eve in the garden. She said, you know, the Lord told you, you can't eat of all these things. the Lord told her, you could eat of everything in the garden except this one thing. And how did the devil use that trick? He said, Eve, you mean you can't eat of everything in this garden? You see how he reversed the situation? Depravity is what he used. Depravity is the tool that he used to get Eve's attention. And she began to feel, I'm left out. Look what I'm missing out on. Oh, you got just a little bit of time to jump in. Are you going to lose the deal? I want to tell you, anytime you're pressured to make a move on something that is not good, amen, and where it's going to cost you, and you're pushed, it's not worth it. We need to look at the fine print sometimes. We need to look at the fine print of godliness and righteousness. Amen. The scripture that we read, godliness plus contentment is great gain. When there's more pressure from the outside and a vacuum within, there's going to be a cave-in, implosion. The whole structure collapses. And there is a feeling that I want to tackle. I want to nail this morning. It's called the spirit of apathy. You know what apathy is? It's when you lose your sense of purpose. When you have that feeling that you don't have worth anymore. No meaning, no passion, no joy. There's not a reason. You know? Isn't it crazy? That apathy is a feeling that you start feeling. I just don't feel like it. In a marriage, men on a honeymoon, I mean, boy, woo. And a honeymoon just don't last the weekend for some. It lasts a little longer. But after a while, that beautiful girl that you're just, woo, that you took to be your bride. I mean, she is so wonderful. But guess what? After a while, something starts eroding, and something, after a while, that old spirit of apathy comes in, and you think, no. And you don't have feelings. You don't have all that excitement that you had. And now you're left with just commitment. And sometimes commitment could be the bare necessity that will save you and your marriage. And most people don't get to that place. They get to that place where they bail out. They trade out. You know, what part of thou shalt, you know, that you didn't do. Amen. Many vows are made. Amen. Many different things are made in just haste. And they don't look at the final line, the bottom line of what they say I do about. I want to talk to us today. It does matter what you do for Jesus Christ. It does matter your commitment to God. Amen. God is looking for somebody that when apathy comes knocking on your door, if you never had it, believe me, it will come. How many has ever had that feeling of apathy where you had no longer feeling? You had to push yourself to get up and come to church. You had to push yourself to worship God. How many has ever been in a church service you didn't feel a drop? How many has ever been in life where you felt no joy? You felt like there was no strength in your life. You had nothing to keep you to go forward. That's what apathy is all about. And when the enemy can come in inside of your thinking, and can get inside of your heart and make you feel like life is not worth living anymore, and he'll begin to buy things that come your way and begin to make you feel like, ah, that looks better. That tastes better. Oh, that'll make me a better looking person or better feeling person. You know that our world's marketing today, the major marketing tool is to make you feel, I don't have it together. I'm deprived. Make you begin to magnify apathy. I have no strength. And we live in a world where the feel good is the marketing drive today. What makes you feel good? You need this. You need these vitamins. You need to have this every day. You need this program. I'll help you lose weight. I exercise program every morning. You need this. But if you don't have the discipline, you could have every app on your phone. You could have every program before you. And you could have every vitamin inside of your cabinet. But it's not going to do any good inside of your life until you get a hold of something to help you. I'm telling somebody today, the anchor of our life is still God Almighty. We need God. We need the presence of God. You cannot make it in life without God being at the wheel of your life, with God being at the driving point of your life. God won't wants to live inside of you. The scripture says he's not willing that anybody should perish. God is not against you. God is not after you in a different manner to make you a slave, to weight you down. Living for God is not chains and weights. Living for God is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a freedom. It's a treasure. But when people do not look at God as being a treasure in their life, they lose something. They lose something. They become vulnerable. The scripture says they believe a lie and they are damned. Self-deception. One's values, their attitudes, their beliefs, their behaviors, and their angle of perception is so easily influenced when they start getting down and they start thinking, is it too hard? Friend, you should live your life that there's no other option but God. If a person has other options, that means they have other gods in their life. God needs to be number one. How many believe there's only one God? Let me see your hand. Great. That don't give you any advantage just believing in one God. The devils believe in one God. That's what the scripture says. You got to do more than believe that there's one God. You better make him number one. If he's not number one, something else will be number one in your life. It's self number one. Is selfishness number one? Is all the different things of life number one to you? And God is just your spare tire? You only go to God whenever you need God. When you're in a bind, he's your 911. I look at something, the life of a man, and his name was Job. I want to tell you, Satan is not as big and bad as you think he is. The only power Satan has is the power that God's given him and the power that he takes from you. We have power over Satan. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When I give him that power, he abuses that power against me. Think with me. The Lord told Satan, he said, have you tried my man Job? Job was a very wealthy man. In fact, one of the wealthiest men in the world, but he was a righteous man. He had a right standing with God. And Job began to suffer loss. He lost his children. His children were killed. His children all died out. Every possession he had, his houses were burned. His fields were burned. His barns were burned. Everything this man had was gone in a matter of just moments. And so Job began to suffer these losses. His children, possessions, wealth, his health, his body. He found himself in despair. His friends came to him and they saw Job as a hopeless, helpless individual. Their angle was a human angle. They saw Job as a helpless individual, hopeless individual. And they began to tell Job, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? End it. End it. End it. End it. End it, Job. End it all, Job. You're hopeless. You're helpless. You're a miserable man. They probably brought him a mirror. Look at yourself, Job. Look at your face. Look at your body. You got sores from head to toe. They're oozing. You're gross. You're nasty. You're pitiful. You're infected. Go ahead and curse God, Job, and end it all. Why is the remedy always to go against God when we need to come to God? Somebody ought to say amen. Look what they said. Curse God. Get it over with. It's not worth it, Job. I love what Job said when they kept on saying, end it, end it, end it, end it, Job, end it all. Job declared, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to see what Job had that his friends and his wife didn't see. Job had an anchor in God. Job had even something that he had caught a view of God's view. He saw things from God's angle versus his wife and his friend's angle. Job had a different angle of living and a different angle of existing. I want you to understand, amen, He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. God gives and God takes away. I'm not going to curse God. I'm going to bless God. Amen. I want somebody today to hear this message. Amen. Oh, friend, when you get to the bottom of your bottom and you have nowhere to go, amen, just don't fall on the bottom. Amen. You need to look up. The scripture says, my help coming from above who has made the heaven and the earth. Who do you look to in the time of need? Who do you look to in the time of apathy where you have no feeling, where you're tempted in every point? You need to look to the Almighty God. Don't cash in. Don't say it's over. Don't listen to the lie. End it all. End it all. End it all. End it all. It's not worth living for God. I want to talk to somebody today. The scripture says in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I come to tell you there's still joy in living for God. There's still peace in living for God. You'll never have strength till God's joy and God's grace is in your life. Amen. Hear me. Godliness and contentment is the greatest thing you're going to ever have. You'll never be content. You'll never be the person that you fantasize as, your fantasy person that you dream of being. But I want to be the person he wants me to be. The joy of the Lord is your strength. My question, what joy are you joying in? What joy are you joining in? The joy of self? Of joy of being something that you're not? Or the joy of being who God wants you to be? Psalm, the first chapter, the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. The cursed man, he turns his back on God. Psalm 1, read it. And here, yesterday, driving home from the church, the Lord began to deal with me. The blessed man finds favor in God because he delights himself in God. There's a virtue that he has. There's a strength. He becomes like a tree that brings forth fruit. His leaf doesn't wither. He don't diminish, but he becomes greater. Even though our body becomes vulnerable, our faith should not diminish. The older we get, though our bodies start to decline, our faith should become stronger. And in time, that Psalm 1 man doesn't diminish, but becomes greater and more valuable because of the virtue that he's tapped into. But the vulnerability of man, on the other side, the man that doesn't acknowledge God, that doesn't allow God, that person that lets self rule, or something else rule, they never stop and realize just how fragile life is and how quick life is over. The other day, sitting at the funeral home, Sister Anna and Sister Nina's first cousin's funeral, a young lady, a young mother, three teenagers, a very talented young lady, a very charming personality, one that felt like she would give to humanity, give to people around her. Everybody loved her. But she didn't realize that she was at the finished course of her life. And she died. And sitting there, I realized how fragile life really is. Oh, it's really scary to know that we live such a pretentious life, a plastic life, instead of being real. Quit trying to strive to be something you're not. You'll never have contentment and you'll never gain. Look at God's angle today. Godliness plus contentment is great gain. You brought nothing into this world. You'll not take it all out. Your bio, think about a tombstone. A tombstone will have the day you were born and the day you die, and a little dash represents your life. 2-inch dash. You've ran the 50-yard dash? What about the 2-inch dash? You're running it right now. You're running the 2-inch dash of your life that's on the tombstone. What are you doing in that 2 inches? It's that little segment of your life. Are you running it? Ruining it. you really giving it all to God? It's not what your gravestone says. It's not what your bio says. And it's not what your Facebook says. It's what God says that matters. God cares about you. Your soul does matter. Life is quick. Life is as a vapor. It's just here just a moment. And just it's gone. But I'm glad that God has something more for me than this life. It's life eternal, forever and ever. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The best of both worlds. This world and the world to come. You won't get to heaven accidentally. Sorry. Everybody that will enter into heaven will go because they intended to go. Do you know that hell was made with good intentions? The road to hell is paved with good intentions because hell will be full of good people. Good people go to hell. Good people don't go to heaven. Good people go to hell. Righteous people go to heaven. People that has realized, God, I'm not good at all. I can't qualify. I don't have it together. When a person reaches that point where you realize that, I'm a fool. I'm an idiot. I'm a nobody. I don't have it. I can't live for God on my own without God. You become the quality candidate. When you say, God, I need you, I'm a horrible human mess. That's where God steps in. And when God comes in, he steps in as a friend and a savior. And he would change your life and give you power. Amen. Would you close your eyes with me today, Lord? You know who you have spoken to in this little time, this segment. I pray right now, God, for your goodness and grace that we would all examine our hearts. That we could check our lives, God, today. And not only just check it, not just examine it, but check in into your perfect will. That we could surrender and turn ourselves over to you. The Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness and your grace that is here today. And the amazing promises that you have. But Lord, help us to cash in. Help us not just to be here today, God, but let us not just have good intentions. But Lord, let us, God, make a good start by allowing you to have your will in our lives. There's souls here that need to sell out to realize their little segment of life is so short. Time is taking a toll. Time is so fastly moving, God. Would you help us today, God, to get a hold of you in our little segment that we would have eternal life with you here and there, that you could put your godliness, your contentment, your spirit, your power, your grace in our lives to help us to make it. We love and praise you today. Help us today, Jesus. I need you, Lord. Would somebody right now just tell the Lord, Lord, I need you. You may be in church. You may live the best you can, but I'm going to tell you, you still need God. I don't care how many years you've come to church. You still need God today more than you ever did. Even would you lift your hands in this building with me and say, God, I need you. Even I need your touch. I need your blessing. I need your presence. I need your grace. Hallelujah. 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 Sister Kristen begins to sing this morning. I want somebody to take time for God. Take time to examine your heart, your soul.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Let this song minister to you.
Jesus.
Are you running from God today, trying to hide from God? That's what Adam and Eve did. They tried to cover up. They tried to hide. They tried to get away from God. But the Lord knows where you're at today. I wonder if the Lord's calling your name today, like he called Adam. Adam, where are you? God knew where he was, but he wanted Adam to know where he was. Adam, where art thou? Adam, where are you today, Adam? Where you're at today? Where are you? Are you drifting? Are you lost at life's sea? Are you seeking other things? Are you so caught up in your little world that you forget God? Are you tasting the hardship of life? The misery? Are you tired of being lied to? Are you tired of the false pretensions? Are you tired of all the false advertisement and feelings? Today, Jesus still has even the real true joy. Hallelujah. Amen. This altar's open for somebody. Amen. If you need God this morning, I want you to come and just stand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Come on, God's here to help somebody. Don't be embarrassed this morning to say, God, I need you. I need your goodness and I need your grace. You need somebody just to pray with you this morning. You need help. Don't stay in your misery. Don't stay in your misery. The enemy's telling you, end it all. It's not worth it. End it all. If you're like Job and hearing it from every angle, end it all, Job. Would you come to Jesus today? God wants you to turn to him. Would you step forward this morning and say, God, I need you. I need your goodness. I need your grace. I need you, Lord, more than ever. Come on, your race of life. It's not too far around the corner, the finish line. How are you running your race? And how would you finish your race?
Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Come to Jesus this morning. Lord, I need you. Nobody can do your praying for you. Only you can make that choice. Only you can do that. Open the door of your heart this morning. I'm here to help you. I'm here as a pastor today to reach to you, to bring help to you, to bring help to you. Come on, God cares about your soul. He cares about your tomorrow. He cares about your life.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
I need you, Jesus. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment over all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Sing it again, sis. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment over all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Would you talk to Jesus right now? Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Come on, God understands 911 calls today. SOS signals he takes. He loves it when we surrender to him. When we admit to him, God, I need you. You're in a good place when you finally admit that you need God. And you're at a better place when you finally submit to God. And you're at even a greater place when you finally say, God, I will commit to you. God is ready for that today in a life. Don't be that person that builds your life on fables, falseness, plastics, and who you're not. Build it on the rock of Jesus right now. get a hold of his hand. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, I want you to come stand right up here. Amen. I can only pray with you, but I can't do your praying. But if you need somebody right now, if you need somebody to pray with you as a pastor and a friend and a shepherd, I'm here to pray with somebody. I just feel in the Lord to give you an opportunity. Pastor, please pray for me. I need help. I'm in a battle. It's okay to admit it. It's okay to say, I need help. I need some help right now in my life. I'm in turmoil. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I want the church family just to pray with me right now. Would you pray for these? Amen. These men need prayer. They're admitting. Amen. They need help from above.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
You live for yourself, you live a shallow life. Very shallow life when you live for yourself. But when you live for God and you live for other people, you just deepened your whole life to a greater perspective. You know how I get my blessings? When I empty myself out, helping somebody else and blessing somebody else for God. When I get that phone call and there's a desperate man, a woman, and the sheriff of this county says, Brother Crosswhite, I got somebody that needs help. Would you come? Instead of saying, what did he do? Instead of, what kind of criminal is this guy? I walked in there. And I've dodged urine, I've dodged feces being thrown. I walked in. Yes, if I would start, he said, man, I don't feel like it, I don't feel good. But I walked in. When I emptied myself out, there's something that God gives me. He fills my cup. When I roll out of that bed in the middle of the night to run to the hospital, and somebody said, how can you do that? I know that if I empty myself out for the things of God, God would always fill me. So when I get depressed, when the devil begins to hang over me and say, you're a loser, look what you did, look what you said. I don't know about you, I say things sometimes that I can't retract back. I get upset, I pipe off, and I go, man, what an idiot. When I get to that place, there's a new word, when I feel idiotized by the enemy. You ever been there? I have. Kind of like Brother Aber. He said, okay, everything start going wrong. He said, that's five, devil. I'm going to find five people to go talk to about God. You know what I do? I'll find my phone and I'll start calling somebody that needs encouragement. But I don't have the power to encourage. I just feel like a loser. I go find somebody to talk to. You know, when I start talking about Jesus, Jesus shows up. Yesterday, going to Men's Lake Day. Stopped right here, Family Dollar. Right here on Douglas. Walked in there, and I kid you not, in a haste, I'd been on the phone right before I walked in with somebody very discouraged and prayed for that person. I walked in, and I hadn't even got in the building good, and I hear my name. And there was an employee, new employee there that said, Brother Crosswhite, so good to see you. I just got out of the penitentiary and I got a job. I'm trying to put things together like you taught me. And I made my way looking for hot dog buns and I went down the wrong aisle. I don't read too well, I guess. I was in the chemical aisle. And all of a sudden, somebody snatched my cuff of my shirt. And I looked. And there was a Hispanic young man looking at me. And he said, Pastor, you remember me? I looked at him, I sure do, buddy. And I just hugged him. I didn't get to the other part of the store. Young African-American woman called my name. Four people before I got out that recognized me as being somebody in their life. You know what? He recognizes me. There's an angle that I want to stay in tune with, the angle of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. I feel Jesus right now. I feel the encouragement from above. Hallelujah. When you empty yourself out, amen, God will fill your cup overflowing. Would you lift your hands to Jesus with me right now? Amen. Only you could lift your hands. I want you to do that to Him and say, God, I need you. God, fill my cup. Lord, fill my purpose. Fill my soul with your goodness, your mercy. God, fill my life. Fulfill my soul, God. God, help me, Lord Jesus. Be the joy of my salvation. Be the joy of my life, Lord. I love and I trust you and I believe you today, God. Thank you for this. Thank you for the whole thing that you've done for me. Everything, God. Help me, God. In your name. Amen. Praise God. Amen. In the foyer today, there's a special gift. Amen. And we want you, when you leave, ladies, amen, mothers in this place, we honor you. We pray that day would be a special Mother's Day for you. I do give honor to my mother. She's here. And what a joy to have my mother next door to me at my house. Many times, she's a little bit over-motherly that she protects me, but I thank God for it. I just got on the lawnmower, and she says, you need to drink something. You're thirsting. Thank God for that, Mom. Thank God for Mama being a mama hen, and I appreciate that. But also, my mother is a concerned person. She loves, and I appreciate that. My wife, I'm telling you, 36 years of marriage in July, I could truly tell you that every day, I see a person that's more like Jesus Christ, and I appreciate her. She's not in here, but I do. Amen. There's so many of you mothers here today. God bless you. We want to go to heaven, Hal. And our guests, thank you for being here today. You matter. Tonight's service, remember this evening service at 6:30. Come and be a part of that. Also, next Sunday morning, Brother Hughes will be with us speaking. And
Brother Mark Hughes will be preaching for us. And so, morning service, God bless. Let's go to heaven together.